I don't have time for this, so I'm just going to do it anyway. It's the news. Cardi B. Yeah. Good morning. It's Friday. January 17th, 8:31 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am your host, Kevin. I'm the me in the news, according to me. Dogs are barking already. I have Shabbat Shalom. It is the beginning of the weekend. And as we're moving into rapidly approaching the day, January 20th, in which we will have a different president installed. What's old has become new again. We have a new president who's been there before. And folks, looking back on this, I have to say, I don't think that Trump's second term, if he had been in his second term, now granted, the country has gone through some tough stuff here. And you know, the economy didn't, it was coming back, and then all of a sudden it took a nosedive, and we had all this inflation, we had all these issues. We had 4 years of just turmoil, the war that broke out in Ukraine, the Hamas attack, what's going on in Israel right now. I've got family there. I know that they're struggling a lot. The price of everything has gone up. They're like it is everywhere else. It's just the things that we've gone through, I think, as a nation and as a world, really. In world politics, let alone the political scene, the socioeconomic situation that we're in, it's been rough. But I think that if Trump would have rolled right into a second term, it would have been difficult, unless it was an absolute landslide, you know, victory in his second term, which I think it would have been without the pandemic happening. Some would like to call it plandemic, and I have my suspicions about the whole thing, and I don't want to say that emphatically that, you know, my gut feeling, what my gut is telling me about the whole thing is correct. But I think a lot of people have this gut feeling. And I said it right after it all broke out. Gee, it's interesting that, you know, if you remember how, well, anyway, I'm going to pull a Joe Biden. Well, anyway, I don't want to go down that road right now. It was because really what America's teetering on the edge, what we really need to figure out, and I think the most important thing, everybody's on the edge of their seat right now, wondering what's in my cup. I have chai, my regular, you know, Pacific chai with a blend of, it's Big Train chai with a blend of Pacific chai in it. I like the Big Train much better. It's just creamy all the way down. But the Pacific has a little bit more of a spice to it, which is fine. In my backup cup, however, is always the interesting part. I have cinnamon creamers, flavor creamer. In my backup cup, not in my backup cup, in my chai, I have cinnamon creamer. In my, I wouldn't misunderstand anything there, because I know people who do that. I live with someone who would misunderstand it. I have, I won't mention any names. This, in my cup here, my backup cup, I have Joe Peach Tea and a blend of, actually, surprisingly enough, Arby's Sweet Tea in there with it. That's okay. It's okay. It's all right. It's not, you know, it's nothing spectacular. But it's drinkable. It'll work. Talked about a few things yesterday. Today, couple things that are happening. One is the whole TikTok thing. I guess Joe Biden has now declared that he's going to, you know, just pass the buck on that. He's not going to make a decision. They were talking about banning it. And I think they've banned it among Congress. I think that among government workers and congressional people, I think they've banned it for that purpose. However, I'm not positive. I think that today they were going to try to ban it from, and it was some kind of the whole thing banning it, I think, was a little bit of a misnomer. I think it was actually a ban for control of the American outlet of TikTok. I don't know. There was some kind of attempt to maybe have some American company, U.S. company, take it over, the way I understand it. So I don't know if that's all. I'm not sure exactly the details on it. All I know is that he passed the buck on it. And as far as I know, Donald Trump has said, now he was one of the first people who came out and said TikTok should be banned. He's not in favor of that. As president, he's not going to do that as a thing. I think what he really probably meant to say was that TikTok should be, we should not be using TikTok. But I don't know if that's the case or not. I don't know if that's what it is. Thing was, I don't know. But here we are. TikTok on the chopping block. So let me just, I'm going to go through some things here. I was looking for something. I can't find it. So I'm not going to worry about it. Nebraska invoice. What's this? Yeah, that's not going to happen. This is a typical example of a scam. When you click on the, I get this, you know, dear customer, attached you will find your invoice for PayPal for $549.99, which covers the renewal of your 3-year PayPal theft protection plan. You got a number to call there for customer service. This is not from PayPal, by the way. PayPal billing department. And then when you look at the email address, it's not from PayPal. That's the key there. You have to look at that kind of stuff. And I have no idea what this is for. I don't have a PayPal account. I don't. It's one of those things where it's bizarre. This kind of stuff comes in. This is a scam, phishing scam, some kind. And it says reply to service at PayPal. But when you look at the service at PayPal address, it's not the same. It's just something weird going on there. So yeah, that's not going to happen. Who ordered that? I don't know. Anyway. So we have quite a few. There's still a lot of confirmation hearings going on right now. My understanding is that Trump is getting his counsel. Now, Fetterman, of all people, the more he gets his senses back from his stroke, the more he is speaking some common sense issues as a Democrat. I'm not saying he's Republican. I just want to say, it amazes me. You know, who are these people who are genuine? We've had a lot of people in the past month since the election who've come out, and we need to make a serious distinction here, lest we be deceived. When some of these people, like radical Marxist individuals, like collectivists like Chink Uyghur, even people like Jimmy Dore. Jimmy Dore is still a collectivist at the end of the day. You have to understand these people. Jimmy Dore said he didn't vote for Trump. I don't know if he voted for anybody. I don't know if he must have voted for somebody apparently, or maybe he didn't. I don't know. But he definitely says he didn't vote for Trump. But he's at the same time he's not he speaks the truth about Trump. He doesn't live in some kind of weird world, but he has some kind of, he still has some very collectivist ideas about things like health care, minimum wage, different things like that. They have his show and his people he has on his show typically have very, what I would call neo-Marxist and, at the bottom line, collectivist mentality. It's a mixture of kind of this weird stuff. But at least he is willing to have a dialogue. Things like what's going on in Gaza with Hamas, for instance. This Finkelstein guy, Norman Finkelstein. I saw a video of him recently. I think it was last week. I don't know that I ever actually did a show about it, but I should probably do this. He's sitting there and he's going on. He's a professor somewhere of studies. I think he studies Gaza. He's some kind of expert on Gaza, Middle East studies of some kind. He's some kind of an expert on Gaza, and he has all these numbers that he just spouts off as if he's some kind of an authority. That's half the population is children, half the population is this, and just on and on and on about how many people live there, it's a concentration camp. His all these statistics that he rattles off without any references to any kind of study, none. He just rattles the stuff, rattles the numbers off, and people just take him at his word. There's this little clip of him being interviewed. It might have even been a short. I don't think it was even a video. It wasn't very long. It was just a couple minutes long at most. It might have been just a minute long. YouTube shorts are 1 minute long. You can do a live short, which is a weird thing where it's on live and it goes on for however long you have it posted live. But it's not the same. What it amounts to is it just shows up in the scroll. As you're scrolling through it, a live broadcast will show up as a short. Now, doing this little interview thing that this guy's doing, I don't know who was interviewing him, but he's talking on about some of the stuff in Gaza and how it works. And now he supposedly is a Jewish man. You have to understand the different kinds of Jewish people there are out there. And he is not a traditional Jewish individual. He would say he's Semitic. I don't know that he's a practicing, synagogue worshiping Jew necessarily. I don't know if he is or not. But there is there's a very liberal sect of Christians in this country. They would call themselves Christians. I'm using the term generically. That they don't necessarily believe in biblical truth. They believe in your truth, my truth. We have to live our own truth. That Jesus was just a limp-wristed man who accepted everyone as they are. Didn't ask them to change. As usual with everything that comes from satanic doctrine. There is this sliver of truth there. But this idea of repentance, I think Franklin Graham probably spelled it out. He had some of the most just simple, brilliant analogies of different biblical principles sometimes when he would preach. And I think that's what gave him so much connection with people in large groups. It's just because he was able to connect just relatable stories and relatable biblical principles and I think that's what connected with people. So it just one of the things that you say come just as you are, because that's kind of what he did with his that was one of his famous songs that he would do after one of his crusades, the end of his speeches, which used to be televised, by the way, on national television. We only had three networks, and one of the networks would cover his, when he had the big outreaches back in the 70s and 80s. And he would preach, and people would come forward, and they would be singing "Just As I Am" without one plea. Just so you come as you are, but you're already changed in your mind. And he talked about repentance and what that means. It's not just crying. It's not being sorry that you got caught, not being sorry that you feel bad about your sin, but that you've changed your mind. You've turned. You're born again. In other words, you're born of. You've changed your mind, basically. You've changed your direction. Got a change of heart. And that's why you come as you are. You're kind of bearing your soul in that moment of change. You don't just run up there celebrating your sin. That's not what you're... Come just as you are. Okay, so I'm just going to, hey, I want to celebrate the fact that I am what I am, and that's the way God accepts me. No, that's not exactly what you're not going to dance to the front of the altar for a celebration of the fact that now God accepts your sin. No, that's not the way it works. So I don't think you quite got the concept there. It's a recognition of how you recognize that God is holy and you are not. And he's provided a way to bridge that gap. Not because you're so wonderful in your sin, but that now he gives you this gift, this gift of the Holy Spirit, his Spirit actually to live within you, to convict you of sin. And then you make a change, and you know this is how this whole thing works. It's kind of a mystery, but it's and everybody has their own path that they walk down with God. It's just I'm not saying that there are many ways to get to God. No, it's just that everybody has their own unique story and how God works with them, how he speaks with them. I can look at a flower, and you can look at a flower, and we can describe it very differently. We each have our own perspective and life experience that we're bringing to the table, but that doesn't change where God wants us to be. I mean, he's not trying to turn us all into little identical robots. That's not the idea either. He's not going to try to make us all clones of each other. But there is this melting together of and weaving together of this tapestry of who we are and who he is and his character living through us in different ways. God creates a flower, and in it he expresses who he is, and how we see it, how we see that flower, each of us as individuals, we each have our own perspective of what we see in his creation, which reflects who he is. It's this melting of life, basically. You can walk, get up and walk around, look at the flower differently. You can look at it from above. You can look at it from the side. You can kind of rotate it around. You can smell it. That's a whole other thing. It's not just the visual aspect of it, but there's all these other senses. We can taste it, touch it. And we have a deeper understanding on every level than of that flower. You get where I'm coming from with this. It still doesn't change the fact that it's a flower that he created, and it's who he is. It's part of who he is. It was reflected in that creation of what he did. So I believe that heaven is going to be an everlasting, never-ending revelation of who God is. There's no end to him. And our brains cannot wrap around that. It's unattainable for our brains to even think to that level. And when we have these weird sects of Christianity who just want to celebrate their, you know, God's acceptance of their perversion, I don't think there's going to be any consequence. They think they're the loving ones. They're the loving ones. And there's so much hate in the world. And yet, the vitriol that comes out of these people's mouths towards basic Bible-believing, what I would call fundamental Bible-believing people, just people who just read the Bible and believe it and accept it. This is a typical example of people who are not have no self-consciousness at all, no self-awareness, no ability to reflect who they really are and understand that the depravity in comparison to a holy God. Well, that's a direction I wasn't planning on going this morning. Yeah. Boy, I have to tell you, this show is just, I just turn on the microphone and I just start talking, typically. Sometimes I have some things I really, really want to talk about because it's, and I want to make sure I don't miss anything. So I'll write a few things down. This morning I have nothing written down. And more than half the time, that is the case. Probably 80% of the time, 75% of the time at least, I have nothing written down. No idea what I'm going to speak about. I just turn the thing on and I get going. And it's usually just whatever's on my head that morning, whatever's sparked, kind of, I wake up to whatever news or whatever happened the night before. And I just go with it. And whatever pops in my head, that's what we're talking about. So that gives you an idea of what this show is about. Sometimes that has a theological tone. I'm not a theologian. I'm a believer, which I guess makes me a theologian. I don't know. Better understand your theology. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. So anything I say about any of this stuff is not just my opinions. That's what this is about, because it's according to me. So according to my opinion, which we still have a right to in this country. We have an interesting circumstance, though, in this country, whereas some people are just not, especially if you listen to some of this, the banter that has gone on. Pam Bondi, by the way, this past week, earlier in the week, I should say, was going on, and Adam Schiff, of all people, I don't know what it is about Adam Schiff. When I hear him talking in his smug, arrogant, holier-than-thou, my-poop-doesn't-stink attitude. And half the time, in fact, one of the things that really aggravates me is when a congressperson or a senator who represents the people of their district starts asking someone a question. Elizabeth Warren did this, by the way, with, I believe it was Hegseth. I was asking him questions. She quoted some things that he had said, not in context, just quoted some statements. And then she went after him and went after him. Every time he would start to, he wouldn't even get a full sentence out of his mouth. And she would go on another 5-minute diatribe about the same thing that she was just talking about and ask him the question again. And he would start to answer the question, to give an answer. And again, she would jump in and interrupt him again. If you want to, maybe I should play some of this stuff, just how ridiculous it is. I think I will do this after Monday, after the inauguration. Actually, next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I will have a show, theoretically. And I can probably work on some of this stuff over the weekend. I've got some very long days. Saturday, Sunday will be very long days for me. Not a lot of time to get some things prepared, but I think I will try to do that. I think actually Saturday Saturday afternoon and evening, actually, I do have some time to devote to this. I will be stuck in a hotel in Chicago on Saturday night. So I think I might, Saturday afternoon, I might put together a lot of this, the hearings, the highlights, and my opinion of some of the things. Because they just continue on with this stuff, and they're trying to make a spectacle of it, make it look like they're tough. Oh, I'm going after this guy. Oh, I'm going to pick on him. Oh, I can't get an answer out of you. It's not a yes or no. Well, it's not a yes or no question. You're asking a question. One of the questions that was asked of Pam Bundy by Adam Schiff. Oh, my gosh. Who votes for these people? You understand he lost his congressional seat because he got censored in Congress as a House representative. So there happened to be a Senate opening, and he ran for that and somehow won that one. Which tells you something of the perversion and the depravity of California. And I've seen him on. You have to understand, people get paid to make comments on YouTube. Some of these guys, and they get paid to flood YouTube with comments. So whenever Peter Schiff is actually a good guy. Adam Schiff is on there. They'll have him on MSNBC or something like that, and they have these people who get paid to make comments on MSNBC and on CNN and all that kind of stuff. They're professionals. They come on and they make basically the same comments, and it's always just glowing reports. Oh, yeah, Adam Schiff's the best person. Oh, yeah, Adam Schiff. Or who's the other guy? The guy who wore a little napkin on his head for 3 or 4 months. Jamie Raskin. He same thing. Whenever he would say anything or go after anybody, he really laid it to him. Oh, he's really gone. They have these people that actually do. They have people on staff who do this for them. They have organizations that's all they do. They just come on and shill in the comments sections of all the stuff that they're posted on. Their job is to find anything that anybody's posting about them and go on, and especially on the leftist media. And make glowing reports. That's happening. It's not a conspiracy theory. It happens. These people they're paid to do this. They receive funding. These NGOs, these non-government organizations who are receiving government funding for something else other than that. But that's what this is primarily their purpose. It's like Acorn. So Adam Schiff is on there doing this thing where he's going after Pam Bundy, and he's asking her, do you believe the 2020 election was stolen? Do you believe blah, 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 blah? Who do you think won the 2020 election? Who do you think? And he's going on and on about this whole thing. And she's kind of stamped. She's holding her own. She definitely kind of pushed back on the whole thing. But she missed a golden opportunity in this process, in my opinion. You know, she said something about the fact that he was, you know, this is the kind of rhetoric and the kind of thing that is causing, this is why they lost the election. She went on about stuff. The perfect response would have been, Senator, if you want to call yourself that, Schiff, I will answer your question with a question. Do you believe the Russians hacked the 2016 election? Who do you believe? Who do you believe won the 2016 election, Adam Schiff? Do you think there was collusion in plain sight, as you called it, that you lied to the American people for years about? And the Mueller report comes out and says there was no collusion between the Trump administration and the Russians. None. And yet for years you told us that. It's the reason he was censured. It's because of the kind of comments he was making, the kind of statements he was making, the lies that he was telling the American people as a representative of his people back home. So this is what bothers me about these people. They think that they're just important and they're because of their popularity and because people want them to be their leader. No, you're supposed to be our representative first. Why do they keep forgetting this? They're representatives, not overlords. And that's I think, the biggest problem with the mentality and the culture there that has just gotten out of hand. I recently had an interesting conversation with my local representative. I think I've talked about this before, but I'll talk about it again. There is a thing known as this is an example. There's a thing called the known crew member system. It's going to call it KCM in the airline pilots world, flight crews. So when flight crews show up at an airport, used to be more than half of the places we would go as an airline pilot back before 9/11 anyway. And even after 9/11, there were some. But before 9/11, many of the places you'd go into operations at the ticket counter, and they would ask you or escort you right out to the airplane. You didn't even go through security. And that was wonderful. And that was a practice at so many of the places we called outstations. Not at major hubs, but at the outstations. Many of the places that we would park at the main hubs, park your car, you would get on an employee bus and you'd go, you had your badges, you had all your stuff, you were on uniform, you would just go straight to the terminal and you would never come through security. Now, if you came in off the street, off from the bus or from the train or whatever, you would come in and you'd still go through security, but it was a very abbreviated security procedure. You could wear your shoes, you could wear your coat. You basically just put your bags in the thing and you went, walked right through. Wouldn't even take your keys out of your pocket half the time. Very different after 9/11. Everything changed because apparently crew became criminals. Even though they were the first ones that died on 9/11. No crew member was involved in an attack with an airplane on 9/11. None. No, there were no crew members involved in that. And yet they are still treated like criminals every day. Now, I understand the safety of flight is important. It's important to the American people, the public. It's also important to the crew members. We don't want some, I have this reinforced door now, guarding me from wackos in the back. There's no such thing as an impenetrable door. But it's definitely better than the little paper folder door they used to use. Security procedures are much more robust than they used to be, in my opinion. However, the pilot, the flight crew, the flight attendants, they go through this thing now called known crew member, which is supposed to speed up their time through security. They're not supposed to have as much inhibitor. They don't have to take all their stuff apart, take their bags out, put their stuff on the thing, and cut in front of the flying public, which is an annoyance to the public. And half of them don't understand. We show up and we're trying to get in front of them. Some of them get offended by the fact that we're pushing our way through in front of them. And it's really helpful if the TSA. I've seen this many times. If the TSA happens to mention, we have flight crew, please stand back. The flight crew's coming through now. Many times they don't do that. They just stand there and they just keep passing out the bins and passing out. They don't care who you are. I guess you got to elbow your way in there, and try to fight your way in, try to get into the line because nobody's going to let you in. Depends on where you are. It depends on some places are worse than others. So the flight crews go to this KCM, and in many places is not, especially if it's early in the morning, they haven't even turned it on yet. So the guy has to come over. They have to wait for somebody to come over to this KCM area so they can log in. Takes them several minutes. Meanwhile, there's people that showed up after you, just the flying public showed up after you, going through the general security line, who have already passed through the general security line with all their stuff. They're on the other side. They're walking to their plane. And the crew's still sitting there waiting. They finally get it done, and they start scanning these little special cards we have, these little special IDs that we have, and they have to look at our ID. And, of course, if you're not in uniform, because nobody can buy a uniform at Sporty's Pilot Shop, if you're in uniform, it must be different. You're special. You only have to have two forms of ID. You only have to have your KCM ID and your company ID and another. And then you have to have one form of government ID, issued ID. If you don't have your uniform on, you have to have two forms of government issued ID. Because, you know, that... Because if you're illegal, if you're a criminal, oh, well, I could do all... I could get my uniform. I could get this uniform. Just because I got this... I got this badge and I got that badge. If I have to do another badge? Oh, man. Two forms of government ID I have to forge? Oh, I can't do that. That's too much. I better just buy a uniform, put all that together. That will save me from having to do that other form of ID, which, you know, will get me through. With all these machine guns. Is that the thinking here? Some of these things are just ridiculous. They're just knee-jerk reactions, and they're still in place, and it's ridiculous. So now they started doing this thing called random checks. It used to be about one out of every 20 times you get randomed. You go through this KCM thing. Oh, you've been randomed. Okay. Usually the whole crew goes through, then no problem. This is when in the early days. Now, at first, they were randoming people quite a bit. Then it got to this point where they weren't randoming people that much. People get randomed once in a great while. Then all of a sudden, they caught someone. They caught someone trying to get contraband. Because they randomed this person, and he went to the bathroom before he went to the... Because what you do is you go through this line to go through KCM. Well, if you get random, you have to come back out of that line, and you go over to the general screening area. Well, this guy could in some places you have to walk half a mile to get back to the... So this person went apparently on their way back to the general screening area, they went to the bathroom. Which I can understand because you don't know how long it's going to take. You know, sometimes you're thinking, well, I'm just going to go to the bathroom on the other side of this thing. And then you don't get through it. Then now I've got to go through the general thing and I've really got to go to the bathroom. But you're not really supposed to because this person went to the bathroom and apparently dropped off their contraband in the wastebasket. And then went on to this was a flight attendant, I believe. Kind of one of the first big major incidents that happened. This person went back to and they got through the security thing, and someone saw on the security camera that they did that, and they actually went after them. Said, hey, this person, and they went to the bathroom, checked it out, and sure enough, they found something there. Now, the problem is you can't determine whether that person left it there or somebody else left it there. But they determined somehow that highly suspicious activity was that this person probably dropped that there because they knew they were going through random search. So, you know, that's understandable. But then they started ramping up the random searches. Now, that contraband had nothing to do with safety of flight, by the way. Had nothing to do with safety. It was a DEA violation. It's a drug enforcement agency violation. So, now all crew members are subject to random searches, of course. And the rate right now has been right around 40% that most people are experiencing. Now, I know very well. I've talked to a few pilots who, out of the last 10 times they've gone through, they've been randomed every single time. 10 times. And not just the same KCM line. This is different places where they're going. It's not like they're just going through Chicago and or their home base and getting randomed every time. It's every time they have an overnight, every time they go back to the airport the next morning, the next day, they get randomed. Which totally undermines. In fact, I just saw a crew the other day. I think I talked about it on the show. Four people in a row of the five crew members, four of them got randomed. Another crew came through. One of them made it through. The other three got randomed. I've seen this in different locations are actually worse than others. I've seen what I've seen. I think it was Cincinnati. I believe it was Cincinnati. I saw one time. 9 crew members, two or three different crews. I think out of 12 people, 9 of them got randomed. That's not random anymore. Why do we even bother with this? All you're doing is slowing down. And this is the thing. The crew doesn't just, you make it through and then you run off to the airplane. The crew has to wait. It doesn't have to, but it's considered general courtesy for the crew to wait for the rest of the crew. First of all, if it's a flight attendant, you can't board the plane. The flight attendants have to be on board in order to board the passengers. Now, sometimes there's cases where things are running behind, or you've had a short night. Maybe you've had 8 hours behind the door because of a late inbound flight, and then you had to go out early the next morning. So the crew gets there, and they're already behind because they've already delayed the flight from the night before because you didn't get enough rest. And you get there, and then everybody gets random. Now you got to stand around. So sometimes the flight crew will go on. You know, they'll just go on before the other person gets there. That's fine. Whatever the crew decides to do, however they handle that kind of situation. Typically, though, you'll see groups of crew members standing around on the other side of the security line waiting for the rest of their crew to come through random search before they move on to the gate. They stick together. It's an important part of security, in my opinion, to stay together. So, I wrote my congressman. I had took pictures of this stuff. Crew members sitting around, waiting, the rest of their crew. I wrote my senator. I wrote my congressional representatives. There's 2 of them. My district. I got a response back from one of the congressmen with a number to call specifically directly to the person that works in the office. It wasn't him specifically, but it was to his general cohort there who does all his communications, and asked me a bunch of questions about what I knew, what the kind of thing I was talking about, and what was going on with it. And I actually took a survey online. I posted an online survey, and it worked out to about 30 to 40% was the vast majority of them had experienced 40% random checks. A large number was 50%. A large number was 30%. Surprisingly, nobody has posted 100% yet. But it is definitely, there are some that have had that the last 10 times that they've gone through. I was amazed, I guess, at the response from one of the congressmen. And I will vote for that. I don't care. I wouldn't care. They all happen to be Republicans. It's Indiana. Indiana is pretty much a red state, pretty all through and through. But even if it had been a Democrat, I would say, boy, that's a person I would vote for. They're actually representing, you know, the people here. They're actually listening to the concerns of the general population here and the issues that are being brought up. And my whole thing is, it's not just an inconvenience to the crew. It is a matter of safety. I talked to a TSA agent one time. I said, how many things are they finding on these people that they're running through all these random checks? Nothing. Oh, I heard that somebody, that they might hear that somebody got caught doing something. But when you say, okay, at this station, though, how many times have you found something that was a problem with safety of flight? Well, we found a screwdriver in one guy's bag. Oh, a screwdriver. Was it a pilot? Yeah, it was a pilot. Oh, so he had control of the airplane already. What was he going to do with the screwdriver? Take the airplane apart while he was flying it? What was he going to do with that? Well, you know, he could attack the other pilot. Well, you know, there are things on the airplane that are, you know, a pen. You know, I mean, if... it's just kind of stupid. It's just stupid. So, It is the ridiculous, ludicrous. And fine, if you want to make it a DEA thing, then let's have a discussion about it and say there's been a rampant number of people hauling drugs. Flight crews are hauling, you know, they're muling drugs all over the place. So we need to crack down on that. Okay, well then let's have a discussion about that and talk about that and say, okay, then let's have a way to clear people beyond that. How about somebody who doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, hasn't never done any kind of contraband issues, hasn't got any kind of driving tickets, have a completely spotless record, which most pilots do because their career depends on it. And it's been almost, I hate to throw my flight attendant friends under the bus here, but it's been majority of the problems have been flight attendants. And, okay, then why don't we proportionately random them? Instead of randoming the pilots, which I still disagree with. It's far too much. They're not finding anything. What's the percentage of all the people you're finding something from? You know, of all the people you've randomed in the last year, let's see the number of people you've randomed compared to the number of people that you found with something, some kind of contraband. And exactly what kind of contraband that was. Or safety of flight issues. How many knives and guns have you found in flight crew? This is just a weird thing for them to go through. I don't know if it's something they're trying to do to establish some kind of credibility with the flying public. If it's just an optics thing. That's ridiculous too. Because look, it takes longer now for them to get through a day. They're already starting late. Possibly the second day is going to be late. Now they're going to have another night, 8 hours behind the door. Because they're wasting a half an hour getting through security. That's not what KCM was designed to do. And here's the thing. The general flying public is paying for this, along with the airlines. The airlines pay for it too, and I guarantee they're passing that on to the tickets. You're paying for it. The flying public is paying for it. You're the ones generating the revenue to make these flights happen. Planes don't just automatically go whether there's somebody there flying them. If the seats aren't full, they're going to stop doing those flights. The general public pays for those seats and everything it takes to make those seats fly, which is a lot of stuff, by the way. When you look at all the magic that has to happen, everything has to come together and the coordination has to happen. Airplanes have scheduled maintenance, routine maintenance. They also have stuff that breaks unscheduled. They have bags that they have to haul with certain people, and you can't haul bags. The passengers who are on the plane have to have the bags on the plane with them. So you can't just, fly bags around from various things. All this stuff has to be coordinated together. So you have to have, if you have passengers making connections, bags that have to make connections, maintenance schedules that have to be complied with an airplane. And then you have the flight crew and their schedules as well. Let alone having enough gates at the airport that you're going to park at. That's to be coordinated as well. And service personnel, workers. All those things have to be coordinated to make everything happen. It is a huge, huge undertaking every day. It happens every single day. And then people get all upset when something doesn't go well, when the weather gets bad. I'm never flying this airline again. Well, okay. And you got two other options then. And someday you're going to be on that one saying the same thing, and you're down to one option. So just, good luck. Have fun with that. I guarantee you they'll be back. They just like saying that. They're saying that they like to be cranky. People like to be cranky for some reason. Not sure why. I know that as I get older, I understand more about being cranky, but it's especially when I get tired and hungry, then I can get cranky. I get it. Still getting junk mail here. That's my show, folks. That's the show today. Pete Buttigieg is on his way out. Can't happen fast enough. It's almost, and to me, it seems almost as if it's this privilege penalization thing that he wants to do. with certain classes of people. That's kind of the way he is. You have to understand, he was a mayor here in South Bend, just the city next door here, for a long time. A lot of folks there that have very little good to say about the guy. He was involved in some scandals, slipped past all that stuff. Pretty amazing. Folks, have a great weekend. I will see you on Monday morning. God bless. Shabbat Shalom. And pray for our nation. Pray for the next few days that everything goes well with the inauguration. Nothing crazy happens. Right? See you later.